story to the emergency room. We just rotated, you know, you were the lieutenant. And there were some civilians that worked at the hospital, but the military, we all had to rotate everywhere. And then I actually volunteered to go to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I had an older brother who was stationed in the Air Force, who was over there, and my younger brother was in the Navy, and he was out on a submarine out there. I think he was in the Tonkin Gulf out surrounding Vietnam. Mm-hmm. But when I volunteered, I remember my father was very much for it. My father had been a corpsman in the Navy. He thought it would be the greatest experience in the world for me. Mm-hmm. My mother, on the other hand, wasn't too happy with it. You know, her, first of all, now it was her daughter going to war. She'd, you know, had two sons who were still over there. Uh-huh. So she wasn't as supportive as my father was. But I actually went over on the buddy system. My friend that I had gone to nursing school with, we joined the Army together. So we were stationed in Alabama together, and so we volunteered to go to Vietnam together. Mm-hmm. And when we were assigned to go to Vietnam, we were assigned to go together to the same place. However, when we got over there, they were sending her someplace else and me to another place. So mm-hmm. we asked to have our orders changed. We said we were assured on the buddy system that you would send us to the same place. So they did, they changed orders, and then we were both stationed in the Mekong Delta. I was way down south uh-huh. in the Republic of Vietnam, in Thu Huy, uh-huh. the Third Surge Army Hospital.
Third Surge. And what made you decide to be a nurse? Was that something you wanted to do as a little girl?
No, I don't think as a little girl. When I was in high school, my first afternoon job after, you know, to get a job, pay for your car insurance because there was a family of six, so I was, my first job was working in, was at Woolworths, Kresge's. I worked in at the deli, you know, and then I decided that wasn't really what I wanted to do. So I became a junior nurse's aide. And once I became a junior nurse's aide and I was exposed to nursing more and more, I worked as a nurse's aide during the summer, and then I decided I wanted to go to nursing school right there at the same hospital I was working at. Uh-huh. So it was a diploma, 3-year program, uh-huh. and that's when I...
And you went in immediately after high school?
Immediately after high school, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I had been working, my junior and senior year I worked at the hospital. Uh-huh. And then I worked during the summers all summer long as an aide. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I decided before that I had been a candy striper. So uh-huh. I had been exposed to the hospitals, but uh-huh. nobody in my family had ever been in nursing. But uh-huh. So I decided that's really what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh. Did you ever think about any other jobs? Or
no, you know, actually I never did. I mean, I think when I was in high school, that's when I finally, you know, I was taking all, as many science courses as I could. I, you know, focused on that, and then I decided I liked medicine. So mm-hmm. at one point, I really wanted to become a pediatrician, mm-hmm. but then financial constraints, and I decided, well, I'm going to go to nursing school. Mm-hmm. So.
And all of this was still in Des Moines?
Still in Des Moines, yeah, Mercy Hospital in Des Moines, mm-hmm. Iowa.
So. And did you have, I mean, was it a concern that you might get married after high school, or
no,
were you single
no,
then?
I was single then, yeah. Actually, mm-hmm. I never got married until I was in my 30s, my uh-huh. late 30s, so. Yeah,
that wasn't a concern.
That was never a consideration. No, uh-huh. I always wanted to do my career. I always wanted to have a career first. Uh-huh. And I chose nursing.
Uh-huh. And so you entered nursing school in
1967, yeah. So it was a 3-year program. Mm-hmm. Said diploma program, and I worked, you know, during the summer. As you know, we could work. That was their cheap labor was to hire the student nurses, uh-huh. you know, so you could work after classes, you know, and on the weekends and during the summer. And so I lived in the dormitory, but I was only like less than 10 miles from my house. But uh-huh. I had 4 younger brothers and sisters at home, and there was no way I knew I could study. So my parents, they were all for it. So I lived in the dormitory.
Uh-huh. And was nursing school expensive?
Back then it wasn't. I mean, mm-hmm. nowadays, you know, it certainly is. But I had gotten a scholarship for the first year, partial support. Mm-hmm. And then that was one of the factors for the third year going in the military was that they would pay for the last year.
Uh-huh. And how did you hear about the student nurse program?
And now I'm trying to read. Oh, the recruiter came to the school. That's what it was, a uh-huh. recruiter. And there were 3 of us, actually, that signed up. I uh-huh. wasn't the only one. There were 3 of us that signed up. But a recruiter came to the school and talked to us about it.
Was the recruiter a man or a woman? Do you remember?
I believe it was a man. It wasn't uh-huh. a woman. It was a man.
And what did he tell you about?
That they were, you know, join the Army, and they could pay for your last year of school, and you'd have 2 years to serve. You could pick where you wanted to go. You could get one of your top three, or, you know, if you guarantee that you could go with your friend, you go on the buddy system. Mm-hmm. So it was which I did with the buddy system.
So that was a spelled out program. It wasn't just kind of a...
No, that was spelled
plus
out.
Or,
yeah.
Huh.
So, actually, you know, I think I'm hearing a beep
okay.
over here. I don't know if that's my phone that I missed.
Talking about the recruiter.
The recruiter.
Uh-huh. So he came to your school.
Yeah, came to the school. And I mean, I think we also had somebody visited from the Air Force too.
Uh-huh.
But I do remember, you know, that was what it was. And then I had to sign up if we were interested. I mean, I remember going home and talking to my parents about it and saying, well, this will pay for my last year of school and I'll just have to serve 2 years. So.
Uh-huh. And you already had two brothers who were in Vietnam. So you knew that was a possibility or?
Yeah. Oh, actually, when Vietnam was after I'd been in the Army for a year, I'd already been stationed in Alabama. Yeah, my one brother was in the Air Force and my other brother in the Navy. So, yeah, I mean, but that's why I volunteered. I didn't. Uh-huh. I wasn't sent. I volunteered.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, my friend and I, we did it together. The buddy system. We wanted to go together.
Uh-huh. And you were friends in nursing school.
Right. We'd gone through nursing school all together, and we actually worked at the hospital together. And so.
Did you think of yourself as a patriotic person? Was that part of it, or you know, what did you think
about?
I
don't, when I think about it now, I don't think that was a real factor then. I think more of my factor was, you know, the financial assistance, you know, uh-huh. because of my family, and so I wanted to help, you know, get my education, and
uh-huh.
I thought, well, what's 2 years, you know, and it'd be an experience.
Uh-huh. And your dad had been in the Navy.
My dad had been in the Navy, yeah.
So when you went home and talked to them, was your mom immediately not happy? And your dad
supportive? Actually, when I you know, when I first joined the Army, mm-hmm. I mean, oh yeah, they were supportive of that. That was not a problem. But I think, and then especially I was stationed in Alabama for my first year, and they came to visit, and you know, my friend and I had an apartment off base, and it was we'd get up and go to work, you know, and so. Wasn't anything different, I think, outside of them, you know, working somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
The hospital was small, but
And
it was an experience. Basic training at Fort Sam Houston.
Right before you went to Huntsville.
Right before I went to Huntsville. Actually, I was in basic training when I found out that I had passed my nursing boards. I mean, I went into the Army and I hadn't even passed my boards yet, and that was the stipulation, you know, so we were all in basic training. And a lot of us, I do remember, were waiting for our results from our boards.
Mm-hmm. What was basic like?
Basic was an experience you never forget. I mean, you'd have to do marching, training in the field. I mean, it's just all of the logistics, map reading, a lot of the things that we did that I thought, when am I ever going to use this stuff? But that was, and basic training, but I remember the marching, going out into the quadrangle. And we'd have to march, and we'd be in our uniforms, and, you know, you'd dress green, so, and... It was, you know, people were getting, you know, blisters on their feet, you know, and then if you didn't have your bars polished right, and I mean it was something, you know. I never think about basic training anymore, but that's what I think about. But it was also a time of a lot of camaraderie. You met new people. I mean, partying was one thing that did in basic training a lot. This was for the officers. See, I did officers' basic training, which is entirely different from the enlisted basic training. So, and it was with all physicians, nurses, and pilots. We were the only ones that did all the basic training together.
So. And were a lot of people getting ready to go to Vietnam right after that?
There were some, but a lot of us were just going to be stationed, you know, stateside for a while. But there were some I remember going that were going to go right over.
Uh-huh. And so you went to Huntsville for a year?
Went to Huntsville, Alabama for a year. And then that's when my friend and I decided, you know, we wanted to go to Vietnam. You know, we'd been, you know, by then, and when you're in the military, and I was keeping, you know, track of what was going on with the war, but you certainly don't know everything that goes on when you're sitting back here, because it was entirely different getting over there, being exposed to it.
Mm-hmm. So were you scared at all before you went?
Before I went, no. When I got over there, yes. But no, I mean, I think I thought I was just, you know, I was infallible, nothing could happen to me, you know, it wasn't, I don't know, I didn't even really think about what the war was going to be, I mean, but. I do remember my first day getting in country and flying in there and just thing. What have I done? Just mm-hmm. what have I done now? This is for real. I'm here now.
And you knew that immediately.
I knew that immediately flying into country. I mean, mm-hmm. it was one thing when we were flying, we had to fly through Alaska, and being on a plane with all these GIs, and we were all going to the same place. And then it started. Then it started hitting me as like, well, you know, I am going somewhere that's, you know, not exactly safe, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But then when we flew into Vietnam itself, I remember flying and looking down in the fields and seeing red flares and red sparks, and I didn't know what was going on. And I said to somebody, what's all that? And they said, that's gunfire going on down there, you know, mm-hmm. that's the troops are firing. And I'm like, what in the world is this, you know? Mm-hmm. Didn't have really a concept of what war was all about. I mean, I was only 21, and this said not, no idea.
What did you think Vietnam was about, I guess?
I was only going to help. That's what I wanted to do. I said I knew I was a nurse, and I wanted to take care of the wounded. Mm-hmm. I didn't support the war, but I wasn't going to, you know, be one of the protesters, so I wanted to go and help take care of those who were over there. Mm-hmm. And I saw it as my opportunity to have a wonderful experience, which, you know, to this day I don't regret it. Mm-hmm. It was an experience.
Mm-hmm. Had your brothers written you about it? Did you hear about the war from them?
You know, I don't think my brothers kept in. They wrote to my family, mm-hmm. and so I don't know that we kept that much in contact. I mean, mm-hmm. my family always would write to me. They'd send me cassette tapes, sent me care packages. They were constantly, you know, as my younger sisters would say, Mom told them you will sit down today and write to your sister, write to your brothers. My mother made that, you know, there was a couple of the younger ones left at home, had to do all the writing uh-huh. and keep us, yeah, keep those care packages coming. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because by the time I was over there, and I've been over there a few months, then I think my brother from the Air Force got to come home. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think he broke his leg, and so then he was sent back. And then my brother on the submarine, they relocated somewhere else out at sea, so he wasn't. But at one point in time, we were all three there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was before they passed the mm-hmm. law that only one uh-huh. could be over wow. there.
I bet your mom was a nervous wreck.
She was, but you know, my mother was a very strong woman, and she was very strong in her faith, and mm-hmm. she always believed and mm-hmm. prayed, and all three of us came home, you know, with no problem. So. Mm-hmm.
And were you said your mother was religious. Were you religious?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was born and raised a Catholic, and uh-huh. my whole life, you know, we lived a, you know, went to Catholic schools, I went to an old girls academy, I went to the Catholic hospital, that's Mercy was run by the nuns, uh-huh. so yeah, almost definitely, it was part of my upbringing, uh-huh. Irish Catholic all the way, uh-huh. so.
And how did the war affect that, or how did your religion affect the war, did they?
Oh, I think it was a comfort in a sense, and a comfort. I mean, I always could find myself, you know, we have the chaplain was always available. I could go to church, go to, you know, and I was. I mean, I think it's, and to this day, I mean, my religion still is a comfort to me.
Uh-huh. So when you land, where did you land in Vietnam? Was it Kuchi or Bing?
No, where was it? Long Bend.
Long Bend.
Long Bend. Long Bend.
And you found
the processing. Long Bend was an experience in itself. That's where you come in and you do all the in processing in country, mm-hmm. and then you. That's when we got our assignments for where we were supposed to go, and we found that we weren't going together. That mm-hmm. she was going, I think, to Kuchi, and I was going to Third Surgeon. So then we got them to change so that both of us were going to Third Surgeon.
Mm-hmm. And they changed it without a lot of problems. Did you have to fight?
I think we had to fight, but not for a long period of time. But I mean, we had to go and negotiate, and we said, "You, this is what you agreed to. You agreed uh-huh. to this. When we came in on the buddy system. We're over here, and we want to go together. Uh-huh. We'll go wherever." I think that's what we said. We'll go wherever you want to send us. So uh-huh. we went to the Mekong Delta, which uh-huh. was way down south on the Cambodian uh-huh. border. So.
And what was that like? What was your hospital like?
The hospital, you know, it was. Well, we were low men on the totem pole, so we were stuck in the Vietnamese ward. There was a Vietnamese ward where we took care of mm-hmm. the Vietnamese and some of the ARVNs, the Army of Republic of Vietnam, as well as there were some, at one time we did have VC. We had to take care of a couple of them. Mm-hmm. They didn't last long in a ward, but I mean, I remember that initially. That was, I was so uncomfortable working with the Vietnamese, but in time. And there was a friend of mine that who became a close friend there. She just loved it on the Vietnamese ward. Well, I didn't. I asked to get transferred off as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So then I was sent to the emergency room. So I went from the Vietnamese ward, which was, you know. But I learned a lot from some of those people. I really did, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was different. But when I went to the emergency room, it was entirely different. That's where I was always somebody, the adrenaline, I had to see action and I wanted to see more, and that's why I didn't like the Vietnamese war. It was, you know, maintenance and how, you know, not speaking the language, it was difficult, but I remember the first week we'd been in country, though, and being on the ward, and they said we were at the perimeter, we were being surrounded, and so that's when we placed us on red alert, all the sirens went off, and they said incoming was coming, and so we had to get all the patients out of the beds, underneath the beds, throw the mattresses on them, because we thought that the hospital was under attack. Mm-hmm. But that proved to be false. I mean, we may have took some outside of the perimeter, some hits out there, but the hospital itself was never hit.
So that's your welcome to Vietnam.
Yeah, that was kind of like my welcome. Actually, my welcome to Vietnam was when it wasn't in Long Van, I think, and they handed you the mosquito nets and told you, you know, you're going to need these to put over your hooch, you know, and mm-hmm. I thought, what in the world? Why do I need mosquito nets? And that was kind of like my reality. It's like, what have I done? I mean, I'm going to be here for a year. I mean, you know, welcome to the place. But then when I got to my actual hospital, when they took us by, I think we went by Jeep, you know, went from the airfield. We flew in there on the helicopters from Long Bend. And then from the airfield, they said that the colonel wanted to meet us, the nurse, the chief nurse. And so I do remember going over to the place called Charlie's Den. It was the officers' quarters, the officers' club. Mm-hmm. They called it Charlie's Den, and that's where we met our chief nurse, mm-hmm. Colonel Tardio. I was my first chief nurse. Yeah, mm-hmm. She said, "Welcome to Vietnam." You know, and then they sent us back to our hooches. You know, and it's just this barren, not even as big as this room. Maybe about 3/4 the size of this room. And that's, you know, you had a bed, like a bunk, and that was it.
And did you share that with your friend, or were you
by
yourself?
No, I was by myself. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that over in Vietnam is you became resourceful, and there were people leaving to go back home who had been there a year, mm-hmm. and so, like, people would sell their refrigerators. You would get little refrigerators. Some of the people, if you were lucky, you would try to get into their hooch, where some of them had built cabinets. People had been, mm-hmm. I mean, I had to realize we'd been at war for 10, almost, you know, 8-9 years by the time I got there. I was there in 71, 72. So I had to stay in this one room, and I remember I wanted to paint the walls, and the only color paint I got was getting it from one of the pilots, and it was this iridescent orange, and it was but see, the walls were just terrible in there, and I painted one wall, and I'll never forget, I could not wait to get out of that room. And then there was one of the female nurses who was out processing. She was going back to the States. And then I asked to get her room. And it had, you know, built in some nice cupboards. And, you know, there was a refrigerator in there. So then I felt a little bit more. Oh, and an air conditioner. That was the other thing. If you could get the air conditioning units. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing was to get to know the people. Mm-hmm. That's how you had to be resourceful, who you knew to get things. I mean, survival of the fittest over there.
Yeah. How many hours did you work? Did you work 6 days a week?
When I first got in country, we worked 12-hour shifts, 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. And then I think the last 2 months before we left, because we were closing our hospital, mm-hmm. and when I left, we were down to 8-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. So.
But how many nurses were there? Is that a big hospital?
It was a pretty good size hospital, yeah. I'd say we had anywhere from, I think, maybe 20, 25 nurses. Uh-huh. Because there was a emergency room, there was Ward 12, which was the ICU, and there was Ward 13, which was the general medicine, general surgery ward, and then the Vietnamese ward. Mm-hmm. So there were four wards, and so, yeah, it was pretty. And then during the time that I was there, we had the amnesty program where a lot of the GIs could come through the program to get off of drugs. Many of them were on drugs, and mm-hmm. so we set up a ward. It was just the drug ward for the amnesty program.
Uh-huh. And did you work on that ward as well?
No, actually I didn't. Uh-huh. But I was still in the emergency room, but that ward was set up. I do remember that. Uh-huh.
Do you think that was a big problem?
Oh yeah, it was. It was a significant problem. You know, there was, you know, that was with the heroin. Mostly is what we were seeing was the heroin.
Were there problems like that among the medical staff as well?
I do remember one time, it was usually what you would see with the corpsmen, some of them that had been put in the medical field, not that they chose that, but some of them, yeah. And I do recall we had a couple corpsmen that it was a problem. You know, they were the 91As, not that, what, you know, there was a little different levels, 91A, B, and C. The Charlies were your top of the notch corpsmen, and mm-hmm. they were, you know, they were the ones we relied upon. You know, some of them knew more than I did, and so mm-hmm. they taught me a lot when I was over there. Mm-hmm. But the 91A, I think, was the one. Yeah, I have vivid memories of him now. We found him asleep in the laundry hamper type thing. Yeah, so that's mm-hmm. where he had been. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to have been on duty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now that I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
Was there a lot of camaraderie among the medical staff?
Oh yeah, among the medical staff. I mean, it was like we became family. I mean, you know, you had no other family there, so you best, you know, get along with the people that you were working with. And yeah, we socialized a lot. I mean, at my hospital we had a swimming pool. So we used to, you know, during the down times, we'd have, we'd play volleyball in the swimming pool, we'd hang out by the pool. There was just a closeness that you can't even describe, because we knew we were all there. We'd get care packages. You always shared your care packages. You just didn't, you know. Mm-hmm. We'd always look to see who got the better care packages. You know, Jennifer's mom used to make better cookies. You know, we'd party in each other's rooms. I mean, and it was just like a way to. You know, get by each day knowing that we were there, and this is uh-huh. where, I mean, where I was stationed, it was close to the Navy compound, and we'd always go over to the Navy compound. A lot of the nurses, we'd walk over to the Navy compound. They always had the best food at the Navy. Mm-hmm. They could always get the lobster, they could always get the steak, and they'd feed us, uh-huh. So we'd go there. The dust-off pilots lived in the same barracks with us, so we got to know many of the dust-off pilots. Uh-huh. It was an entirely different era. I mean, I was there in 71, 72. The war was down phasing, but we were still getting casualties. People thought the war was over, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had vivid memories of Thanksgiving Day in 1971, and they had set up the mess hall to give us all a nice Thanksgiving dinner. And then we had, the alarm went off, that incoming, that they were bringing in choppers. Choppers mm-hmm. were coming in. And so I was supposed to be off, but I got called back into duty. And that's when we just got a mass cows that came in mm-hmm. that day. And yeah, because you can always remember, I can remember a face, but I never remembered names. But there mm-hmm. was a young soldier who's half the side of his face had been blown away. And he still, you know, we had to trach him at that time in the ER, but before we trached him, he was trying to talk to us. Mm-hmm. I can remember just that, seeing things like that, and the smell of burns. We could, you know, you could always smell the burnt flesh, the napalm burns. Mm-hmm. Some of that, you know, those, you get flashbacks, you can smell something, or you can, you know, hear something. Mm-hmm. I can always hear helicopters going off. It was good. Uh-huh. To this day, sometimes when I hear a helicopter, it just puts me right back there. Yeah.
And you think working in the ER kind of gave you more?
Oh yeah, I mean, like the ER did, yeah, and we dealt more with the what was called the Graves Registry, you know, and mm-hmm. when the DOAs would come in, you know, we'd have to, because that was the Graves Registry was right behind the ER. I mean, those guys back there, so, you know, we had to, you know, tag the bodies and do, there was a lot that went on. And so you got to know the people back there. I got to know the guys that had to do all that work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in the ER, we never knew what was coming in. We'd always had to be prepared. Mm-hmm. I mean, and this was like, you know, this was over 30 years ago. I mean, and when I see, you know, today now, what they use over in Iraq, I mean, when the MASH units, I mean, I've been in some of the tents that are set up, and I mean, the stuff mm-hmm. that is available to the military now is just phenomenal compared to what we had. Mm-hmm. I mean, we used to, and for chest tubes, we'd have to set up the bottles, and we'd have to set up the 3-bottle system, and we'd have our IVs hanging, you know, if they brought them in on the gurneys and just laid them there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of improvising.
Oh yeah, we improvised, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I remember going to the Vietnamese hospital. We would go out on med caps mm-hmm. too. We'd do that. Mm-hmm. We'd go down, and then you would really see deplorable conditions, you know. Mm-hmm. And going to the orphanages, we'd do that. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, those are the things that we did sometimes when it was a downtime and we weren't taking any coming, and maybe, you know, on a weekend or something, we'd all uh-huh. go up. There'd be a group that would go, some physicians, some nurses, and some pilots, uh-huh. and go to the orphanages. That was tough, going to the orphanages and seeing all the Amerasian kids that were left there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we would bring, there was one child that we brought back. This kid had been burned so bad that he had contractures and all the scarring of his neck, and our orthopedic surgeon, we brought him back and did surgery on him, and he became like our mascot at mm-hmm. the hospital. I mean, this kid underwent numerous surgeries so he wasn't so contracted, because he could never even get his head up off uh-huh. his head. And then when he finished with the surgery, he was able to.
Wow.
Yeah. So there were different things that we did, you uh-huh. know, even though it wasn't constant barrage of casualties as, mm-hmm. you know, some of my colleagues were over there in the 60s. Mm-hmm. But we were still seeing the injured mm-hmm. in the 70s.
And did you work in the ER the whole time you were there? Did you ever go to another ward?
Just the first couple of months uh-huh. that I worked in the Vietnamese ward. The rest of the time was the ER.
Uh-huh. Yeah. At the same hospital? The
same
third
hospital.
Search?
Third search, yeah, I stayed there.
Did you request to stay there, or did they even bring up?
No, they didn't even bring up. They go out and move you anywhere else now. Okay. We're just there.
Uh-huh. So. And did you have an R&R? Did you go somewhere?
Actually, I did. I went to Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And that was quite an experience, because, you know, I'll never forget my friend and I, when we got to Hong Kong, to see, get in a hotel, to see a bathtub, hot running water. I mean, that was the first thing we did, was sit in the bathtub, you mm-hmm. know, and then went to restaurants, and then went out and bought clothes, and, you know, just went crazy with buying clothes, which mm-hmm. we been working in fatigues, and maybe, you know, I had some jeans and t-shirts, uh-huh. but then nothing. So that was fun. That was really good fun. Uh-huh.
Wow. And what were relations with the doctors like? Was that different than with other nurses or the corpsmen or the pilots?
No, actually, I have some very fond memories of working with the surgeons. I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And the nurses, remember, most of us were right out of nursing school, mm-hmm. had been out of school maybe about a year. And we were like, it was basically OJT. We learned on the job. I mean, I learned how to put in chest tubes. I learned how to suture. I learned how to, you know, start intercasts, threading them up, mm-hmm. you know, the brachial artery. I did a lot, you know, and it was things that I would not do back in the civilian world, but uh-huh. it was things that we had to do. Uh-huh. But now the surgeons were great, and the physicians that I work with, I learned a lot from them.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have to, like some people have to go to officers' parties, or did you have functions that you kind of required to go to, or was it all kind of relaxed? Did you just do what
ours was
wanted?
All relaxed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that we had anything that... And we used to get in groups. I mean, you never went off the compound, you know, by yourself anyway. We'd go in groups. We'd go downtown and go mm-hmm. to, you know, one of the local restaurants or do something like that. But we always went in groups. Uh-huh. And we had fun. And I do remember we took care of the province chief's mother. One of the Vietnamese province chief's mother had been a patient. This is back when I think I was on the Vietnamese ward. And so they had invited the surgeon and a couple other, some of the nurses, to their house for dinner. I mean, and I'll never forget the surgeon. They wanted us to taste all this food, and I mean, it was, you know, like raw eel is what it was. And I didn't want any of it, but the surgeon, I'll never forget, Art Gary, he said, oh yes, he was going to do it. So he just went and took this big mouthful of this thing. I mean, then promptly, you know, got sick from it. I mean, it was like, yeah. But, you know, they were so appreciative. The people were appreciative of what we were doing for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was their one way of acknowledging that we had done a good job in taking care of this guy's mother. Remember that.
Did all of that experience with the Vietnamese affect the way you thought about the war?
You know, I really can't even remember exactly how I felt so much about the war. I didn't understand what we were doing over there. And when my mother sometimes would send me the paper or something, and we would not know what was happening somewhere else.
Right.
We didn't get a lot of the information. So it's not like today where, you know, they can email, they get on the internet. We didn't get a whole lot of information of what was being told back to the public, you know. They were being told basically the war was over, and I would say, Mom, but we're still over here fighting, you know. And so we were allowed to, maybe if once a week, if even that, sometimes you couldn't get once a week, we could call home. We could use the phone and call home. But yeah, it was entirely a different, different time.
Did you have any problems with women getting pregnant who were nurses, or did you have problems along those lines? Or
actually, my best friend, one of my closest friends, and I just saw her last week when I went to the dedication, and she had been there with us. Yeah, she had to come back. She was sent back to the States because she did get pregnant. So,
and there was no kind of messing around. You're pregnant.
That's right.
Go
they
home.
Just shipped her back. They just shipped her back. Actually, she kept it secret for a while until it got to the point where, you know, she couldn't do it now. It was pretty obvious, and so then she was sent back. She really didn't want to go back. She wanted to stay. Because I think they did get married at one time, and he was still stationed there. She was sent home, but he was stationed there. He was a foreman. He'd been a foreman, yeah. So, yeah, but other than that, that's the only one I recall.
Was it the chief nurse that dealt with that, or who dealt with that? Who kind of made the decision?
I think it was the chief nurse that did, yeah. And the decision was, yeah, she was sent back.
Was the chief nurse strict, or?
I had two chief nurses when I was over there. Colonel Tardio was the first one, and I'd say strict. She was, and rather than, and then the second one was Colonel Metcalf, and Colonel Metcalf was a little bit more easygoing, and you know, we were a fun-loving group of nurses. We weren't real, I'd say, rowdy. We weren't, you know, obstructionists or anything. But we were hard workers, and we liked to have our fun too. You know, we would do things like we'd sit in the officers, officers' quarters. I mean, in the Charlie's Den, and we would write songs. We wrote songs. That's all we did. You know, we'd write songs about what we were doing. I mean, that's how we passed our time. You know, and we were just trying to do fun things. And I mean, another thing I remember one time was when Sammy Davis Jr. came, and he was making a visit. I mean, I don't know how I drew the low straw, but I had to stay back and be on duty. I didn't get to go. So my friends got to go, and so they brought me home pictures, you know, but I had to stay. And another memory that I had from Vietnam was one time I was in a helicopter that took fire, because that was the only way we got around country, was if you wanted to go to Saigon, or if you needed, and that's where Saigon was, where your finance records were kept. And one of my dearest friends, Jennifer, they always got her finances messed up. She was not getting paid while she was in Vietnam, and her checks were messed up, so we have to go into Saigon to take care of it. But anytime you went anywhere, you know, from one hospital maybe to another, you had to go by helicopter. So we flew helicopters a lot. You'd sit out on the helipad to get a ride. Well, I think it was the time we were coming back from, I had been in Saigon, and I'd hitched a ride, and I can't even remember who it was Black Ponies or something, but it was not with the dust off. Normally, we were supposed to only ride in the helicopters that had the Red Cross on it, the helicopter. Well, this time, I didn't ride in that helicopter because I was running late, and I had to get back, and so these guys said, well, we're going by your hospital. We can drop you off. And as I remember flying that helicopter, and all of a sudden, the helicopter just went straight up, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, and I had the headset on. The guy offered me the headset, and the pilot said, we just took a fire, you know, that's why I had to go up, and he said, I promise you I'll get you back to your hospital. And then I remember getting back and going over to Charlie's Den and telling my friends, and they didn't believe me. Nobody believed me until the next night the pilot came in, the pilot who had brought me home, and he said, yes, she was in that. And then I went out and saw his helicopter where it, you know, it's where the bullets had hit. So, yeah, that was my closest call.
Were there other times when you felt in danger or scared?
No, I mean, I think the longer I had been over there, I just became, you know, numb to it. I mean, it just became, you didn't think that you, then nothing was going to happen to you, you know, been over there that long. But, yeah, it was a reality. It could happen at any time, but, yeah.
Uh-huh. And did you date in Vietnam, or how did nurses date? I mean, you or your friends, or?
Yeah, how did they, you know, you just, I don't know. It was more, a lot of times it was a group thing. You all go out in groups. And then sometimes, you know, we did fraternize with the enlisted men. I did date a few of the enlisted men, which, you know, in Vietnam, they aren't going to tell you, no, you can't do it. I mean, and they were close to our barracks. And like I said, we're all such a family that, yeah, we did. But no, I never met anybody over there that I kept up with. My friend Mary did, but and then Patty, of course, the one who got pregnant, and then Jennifer. But a lot of the, almost all the men were married. I mean, and that was, it was hard to, you know, find one who wasn't married and was, you know, to have a lasting relationship, you know. It was, it was a different era, definitely was.
And you knew they were married. They didn't lose their rings once they got off the plane.
No. But most of them were honest. You know, you'd ask them and they'd tell you. But it was definitely,
And so you worked at the same hospital, and then you came home in 72?
Came home in 1972,
And you'd been there the full 12 months?
Actually, we got an early out. We came home about, was it a month and a half early? They closed it because they were closing our hospital. They were turning it over to the Vietnamese hospital way down south. And so that was the Vietnamese were going to come in and take that over. Because when my plane left, there were very few nurses, and they were going to be leaving within the next 3 to 4 weeks themselves. Because I remember when I went back for the dedication 10 years ago, the original dedication, I saw a couple of the nurses that I hadn't seen since I left Vietnam. One was the operating room nurse, and she said she was the last nurse to leave our hospital.
And what did you think about going home? Were you, when it got time to go home, were you ready, or were you?
You know, it was kind of, it was a mixed feeling. I was ready to go home, but it was, you know, like you're leaving, you know, another part of your family. I mean, we're leaving all these people we had lived together, you know, and they became your family. And so there was mixed feelings, but I think I was really ready to go home. But wasn't ready for the welcome that we got when we got home. We didn't get much of a welcome. We didn't get any. I had to out process in Fort Lewis. And
is that in California?
No. Where was Fort Lewis? I'm trying to remember where it was. I can't even remember.
That's a new one for me.
Yeah, I think it was Fort Lewis. But it wasn't California. And then getting on the plane, you know, and we were in our uniforms, and people just sneered at us, you know. And I remember hearing them calling us baby killers, you know. And it was just like, you know, I thought, wow, these people don't even understand what we did, you know. So I was just glad to get back home. I remember getting home, and it was in April, and I believe there was snow in Iowa when we got home in April. Yeah, so it was quite something.
And did you go to your parents' home?
I went to my parents, and I stayed with my parents, and. None of my friends back there never asked me about the war, never wanted to talk about it. It was not anything, you know, I just like, didn't feel like I could talk to anybody except my family. And when I first got home, I remember, I found myself under the bed a couple nights when I would swear I'd hear helicopters. Uh-huh. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I was underneath the bed. That lasted for just a short while when I initially came home. I remember my father telling me, you need to go draw unemployment. I didn't go back to work for, 3 months. So he said, you need some time, you have to readjust, And I thought, I'm a nurse, I need to go back to work. No, I didn't, so I did. I drew unemployment, and then I moved to Florida after that. Mm-hmm. And I've been here ever since.
Uh-huh. And so you were out of the Army immediately? You
I immediately, I got out. I got out. I didn't stay, and I had served my 2 years, and mm-hmm. I just, I don't know, it just didn't, and they didn't do a whole lot in out-processing with us, didn't tell us a lot about our benefits, didn't tell us we were entitled for anything. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was a different time. It mm-hmm. really was. Wow.
And so you moved to Florida. What brought you to Florida from Iowa?
My older brother, who had been in the Air Force, was uh-huh. stationed at MacDill. So uh-huh. he was still in the Air Force. He was stationed at MacDill because he served 4 years, uh-huh. or I only served two, and he served four. So he had got me to come down here. So my friend and I moved here to Florida. We uh-huh. drove,
The same one you'd
the
went.
The same one I've been in, yeah. So we moved down here. Uh-huh. And we came to work here at the VA. Uh-huh. And I've been here ever since now, uh-huh. 32 years.
Uh-huh. And did you start out as a nurse here?
I started out as a staff nurse. And uh-huh. I remember I probably was somewhat obstinate. I remember they wanted me to, they said, you have to start an IV on a rubber arm to be certified to start IVs. And I said, I have to do what? I said, I've just been a year in Vietnam. You're asking me to start an IV. I said, and I said, I everything that they asked me to do, and I'd say, but I've been doing this. And they said, but you can't do that. There were certain things, that I did, and I just had to accept mm-hmm. that I wasn't going to be able to do them as a nurse within the VA or as any nurse, uh-huh. back stateside. These were things we had to do during wartime, and they're outside of my scope, shall we put it uh-huh. this way. So I wasn't allowed to do them. And I had to be certified to put an NG tube down. I had to be certified to do a lot of things. And uh-huh. So I was somewhat rowdy, I think, when I first came back. Mm-hmm. My friend and I used to have parties. So we were just happy to be, back. We just were in a different mode. Mm-hmm. So yeah, then I had to conform. Mm-hmm. And so then I, over the years, I decided I needed to go back to school. So I used my GI Bill uh-huh. before it was up, and I went back to USF and got my bachelor's degree.
Uh-huh. In what?
In nursing. Yeah, because I had a diploma, uh-huh. I didn't have a degree, so I went back okay. and got my bachelor's degree in nursing. And that was in 79, so I graduated in 79 with my bachelor's degree. And then I decided, then I got married in 83, and then I had two kids. I've worked here all the time, and then I decided to go back to school, and I was back in 90, I started back to school to get my master's, and uh-huh. the VA was paying for my school then. Uh-huh. So then I got my master's degree, and I graduated in 1994. Uh-huh. That's been 10 years almost, yeah. And now here I am, and then when I got into the women's program was back in 83, actually, when they first started having the Women's Advisory Committee, mm-hmm. they'd asked me to be a member, because they knew I was a veteran, and I didn't want anything to do with it first, and I guess it was in the late 70s when they first started, early 80s. I didn't want anything to do with this committee. And so then they kept after me, and then I said, okay, I'll join. Mm-hmm. So I became a member, and then before I knew it, they had me, I became the chairperson, and then before I knew it, I was the Women Veterans Coordinator, and then I was doing that in addition to being the evening supervisor at that time. And then 10 years ago, we got funding to set up this comprehensive center, mm-hmm. and then I had to interview for the job I had been doing, but now they made the position full-time, so I had to interview for it, so I interviewed for the position. And I became the full-time Women Veterans Coordinator. That was in 1993, when we started out here. And then I graduated in 94, and then I started seeing patients as a nurse practitioner in addition to running the program. Uh-huh. And so now I'm kind of like part-time Women Veterans Coordinator and part-time, actually we call ourselves Program Managers now, they've changed the title.
Uh-huh.
We're Women Veterans Program Managers and then part-time Nurse Practitioner. But what I find is very rewarding is to listen to some of the women veterans' stories of what they did in the military. I always ask them when I do a history of physical, in, you know, what did you do in the military? Some of the women who were in their 80s, the 70s, you know, the ones mm-hmm. who were in World War II, they're just fascinating to listen to what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't think they did anything. You know, a lot of them didn't even call themselves veterans back then. Because when I used to go out and do a lot of outreach in the very beginning, we were trying to bring women to the program.
Uh-huh.
Now we don't have to do it. They know all that the VA is there for women.
Uh-huh.
But we used to go out and do outreach.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them didn't consider themselves to be a veteran. They just thought they had just, you know,
mm-hmm.
served. And then what they happened in World War II is then they just dismissed them after they didn't need them anymore. They just mm-hmm. got them out of the military. So.
Mm-hmm.
Where the majority of women, I think, who served in Vietnam were nurses.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know exactly how many of
right.
us that worked. They didn't think it was important to keep track of how many women there were.
Right.
Yeah. So isn't that mind-boggling? It's still to this day about, you know. Because,
yeah.
I mean, there were quite a few of us, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you consider for a 10-year span.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Exactly.
So what exactly do you do in this position?
I manage the women's program for Tampa, which includes three satellite clinics, Orlando, Brevard, Port Richey, and 7 Seabox.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in charge of ensuring that the women's health care needs are being met at all these facilities. I'm looking to for the provision of safety and privacy, look for those types of things, and customer satisfaction. And ensuring that our performance measures, like in providing mammography and pap smears, are being done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also, like I said, function as a nurse practitioner.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so I maintain a panel of patients and see patients
uh-huh.
too. So,
do you think help staying in nursing was something that's helped you? Do you have gone into something totally different after the war? Why did you stay in nursing?
Actually, you know, I had a positive experience in Vietnam, so it wasn't anything that was going to make me get out of
mm-hmm.
nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I found, you know, I guess by coming to the VA, I still had a sense of the military in me. I mean, it's kind of like the VA is not the military, but it's like an extension of the military somewhat, because
mm-hmm.
I mean, we are very much bureaucratic, we, you know, have to follow rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of the things that are very similar within the military
mm-hmm.
And the VA.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did you ever have, you said you had nightmares when you came home. Did those go away or did they come back later?
Actually mine went away. I mean, it was just initially when I first came home.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember, you know, going to the vet center and wanting to see if I could hook up with the vet center. My first initial is that they weren't doing anything for women. I mean, and they turned me off, and I never went back, because I remember going there and they said, "Well, who's your husband? I mean, what's your husband?" And I said, "No, I'm the veteran." You know, I mean,
uh-huh.
and to this day, that still bothers me. Sometimes I get things in the mail, you know, because if I have a VA loan in my home, and it said the veteran is, and I will stand there and get so angry, and I said, "No, I am the veteran. Why can't they accept this?" You know,
uh-huh.
it's the hardest thing for them to realize that women are veterans too. You
yeah.
know, and so. I guess I've been able to advocate more for women veterans than what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
What I've done for the last,
mm-hmm.
I think, 15 years that I've been
mm-hmm.
with the women's program.
Mm-hmm. Was your friend?
Actually, it's more like 20 years, I guess. 15, yeah, 20.
And you moved down with your friend. Did you
yeah.
guys, you had the apartment?
Yeah.
And we
both worked here at the VA. And then, you know, my friend, then she eventually got married. And she left the VA. And then she went back to Iowa for a while, and then now she's back here. Actually, both my friends are, you know, we're all three in Vietnam together, because we met
uh-huh.
Jennifer in Vietnam. And we've become very close to this day. I mean, I just
uh-huh.
had Christmas with them last week. You know, we always get together, so.
Uh-huh. Do you think that helped you kind of adjust?
Oh, yeah, definitely, absolutely.
Did you guys talk about it a lot afterwards?
Yeah, we did, because nobody else would talk to us, you know, Mary and I got, when we were back in Iowa, we'd get together, and then that's when, you know, when we moved to Florida. But, and then Jennifer was still in the Army. She still had time to serve, mm-hmm. so she didn't get out. But Mary and I had gotten out, and that's when we decided to come work for the VA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad I stayed in. Mary got out, but,
mm-hmm.
I mean, now I have 30, I'll be able to retire, you know,
mm-hmm.
by the VA.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been good to me. I mean, there are days when, you know, I say, well, how soon can I retire? You know, we all look forward to that, so.
Uh-huh.
No, I have no regrets, none
uh-huh.
whatsoever. But.
Would you let your daughter go to war, you think?
Yes, I would. Mm-hmm. I would. You know, I mean, a lot of people say nowadays, oh, but how could you do it now? I mean, we hear more now about the sexual harassment, the sexual trauma. I mean, I screen women for it every day, but I think it's still, you know, if that's what she wanted to do, it's certainly not anything that I push. I mean, if anything, I encourage my son, I mean, because I think for the discipline and the that he would get, it's truly up to them, you
mm-hmm.
know, whether they want to go. I mean, they always ask me questions, you know, and they know that, you know, I was in Vietnam, but it's an entirely different system,
mm-hmm.
and it's an entirely different war now that we're fighting than we fought 30 years ago, you know. Concept of terror is, I mean, we knew who our enemy was in Vietnam. We knew who we were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
What we were for, we didn't know, but we knew who it was. Now
mm-hmm.
we don't even know who, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I feel about the war.
Uh-huh. So you never really had problems with PTSD, like some?
No, actually I didn't. I don't think that I,
uh-huh.
no.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have like fertility problems for some women that had?
No, I didn't have any of that. I had my two kids, you know. I did an amniocentesis with both my kids. But when I tried to get, you know, the VA to pay for it, they didn't. I mean, now I think they recognize that Agent Orange can be
uh-huh.
a factor in defects. But then, you know, they didn't. I mean, I had it done anyway.
Is that what you were thinking, that maybe?
Absolutely, it could have been, yeah. Plus, I mean, I was over 30, too, when I had
uh-huh.
maternal age is what they put for the reason for my amniocentesis. But, you know, I'm on the Agent Orange Registry, and especially now that we're seeing more and more of the illnesses coming out on the Agent Orange Registry, we don't know the after effects from years ago. I mean, I worked in the emergency room. These guys came in with the stuff all over their, you know, fatigues. We cut off fatigues. That's what we did,
mm-hmm.
you know. That was the first thing we do when they came in is
mm-hmm.
we cut them off of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. You know, back then, we didn't have, you know, we weren't gowned and gloved. We didn't have gloves, radically, you know,
uh-huh.
you just, I mean, nowadays, you know, when you don't see anybody in an emergency room that's not gloved and double gloved.
Right.
Yeah, but we didn't.
What do you think you remember most about Vietnam?
I remember most. You know, one thing I do remember that is that you could not even trust the children. Kids could be used sometimes as decoys, or even they became part of the negative part of it. I remember once when we were in Saigon, my friend having her the pants out of her fatigue sliced by a kid who came up and just, you know, and stole all of her money. I mean, her money was in her pockets. So you learned not to put things, you know, where they could, I mean, they'd jump you. And I mean, these were kids that did it.
Mm-hmm.
It was kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and then the other part I think I remember value the most was the camaraderie, that, you know, living with people, you know, that you can work in and live in an environment with
mm-hmm.
that close proximity with people
mm-hmm.
and become very close. And, you know, I had some very lasting friendships, you know,
uh-huh.
that made an impact on me.
Uh-huh.
And then I valued life a lot more. Look at it differently.
Mm-hmm. And how did you hear about the Women's Memorial when it was being planned, or my name is being raised and all that?
Well, they had contacted me through the sister search, so,
mm-hmm.
and I had sent my name in, then I sent my colleagues, and then, see, having worked for the VA, I think there was somehow, it infiltrated that way,
uh-huh.
but so, and that's why I had And I was very excited to go back for the dedication. Actually, my friend went. We all went. So uh-huh. we were all back there. So it uh-huh. was. It was that was probably one of the most memorable experiences I would ever have, because mm-hmm. it finally felt like, yes, we were welcomed home. I mean, and we had not been welcomed home. Mm-hmm. And I never realized how much that affected me until I remember the Persian Gulf War, when they were having all the parades and welcoming them home. And I was working as evening supervisor, and it was one evening I was down on one of the wards, and the TV came on and it was showing the parade, and I just was consumed with such anger. I didn't realize that how it affected mm-hmm. me, and I said, you know, I think that's terrible. You know, that war was only 365 days, and we were there for 10 years. We never got a parade. We mm-hmm. never got anything. So then when we finally had the Women's Memorial, that really was our parade.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the memorial?
It's
a good
it's
one? You like it?
Yes. I mean, it definitely captures the essence of the different levels of women, the different types of, you know, because it wasn't all women that were nurses there. But, I mean, right. there were women that were in administrative positions, and mm-hmm. So, yeah, I definitely, it's moving. I mean, every time I go there, I'm still moved, and I've taken my kids there, and one year I had my kids there, and there was a high school, or a group of elementary kids, or middle school kids, and they were asking a question or something, and so I found myself saying some things, because, and I said, well, I was young, my kids said, Mom, you're just giving a history lesson, you know. I said, well, you know, it just became part of me. I mean, uh-huh. I wish I could, so, yeah. I mean, and I have gone and talked in some high schools about it. I've mm-hmm. gone and talked, you know, different, during Veterans Week, I used to go out and have some speakers bureau for Hillsborough County, and I'd mm-hmm. go and I'd talk about veterans, specifically mm-hmm. women veterans and what it was like to have been in war.
Uh-huh.
So, because I think it's important that our kids understand, you know, I mean, nowadays it's a given, you know, that women are in the military, but it didn't used to be, mm-hmm. you know, what women could, you know, bring to the... Mm-hmm.
Did you find a lot of stigma in 1970, 71, when you joined the military because you were a woman, or think that was odd, or?
Well, I don't think they did so much because I was a nurse, so that was understandable. Had I gone in and I was not a nurse, I mean, there were different, you know, yeah, different attachments to it and what you were supposed to be, and uh-huh. yeah. But no, I think being a nurse, it was entirely different. It was kind of more like, it was somewhat set off there, you're a little different, so you're at least...
Uh-huh. Were there male nurses that you worked with?
There were a few, not too many. I do remember mm-hmm. we had one in the OR, there was a major, and there was one other one, but there was not a very... No, mostly all the nurses were mostly female.
Uh-huh. And did you know those guys very well, or...?
Actually, I remember the major, like I said, he wasn't there only a couple of months, but then he left uh-huh. after I got in country. But, yeah, he was a very nice guy, very, you know, but he worked in the operating room, not the emergency room, the operating room, so I didn't see as much mm-hmm. of them if they were, you know, they were always the people behind the mask, you know, so mm-hmm. you didn't see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did the chief nurse give you, or anybody, I guess, in the military, were there certain things you were... not to do because you were a woman, or were there certain things you were expected to do?
Colonel Tardio, I remember our first chief nurse, she used to tell us one time we were out, we had either gone to the Navy or somewhere, there was a group of us, there was like four or five of us, and we had gone to a party, mm-hmm. and so of course we flew by helicopter, you know, to go to the next compound over, you know, and so that's where we were, and it was red alert. We all of a sudden went on red alert, and so we came back during red alert in a helicopter and landed on the helipad, and she was furious with us. And she just said, whatever you do, you know, she said, when it is red alert, you do not get in a helicopter. You stay where you are. You are not to be flying out. Mm-hmm. And then she said, you know, telling us we were supposed to be back in by, you know, curfew time anyway, which we didn't know we had a curfew, but she, I remember her telling us that we were supposed to be in. But, yeah, that was the only time I remember her ever. And then Colonel Metcalf, there was not very thing she, like I said, we weren't a real rowdy bunch. I mean, we were very much uh-huh. controlled, worked hard, and mm-hmm. And, you know, we just usually stayed around our compound. Mm-hmm. So.
Interesting. Well, it seems like you never, or you, I guess when you came back, you kind of had the right outlets, people to talk to. And
I did in a sense, you know, and that's probably why I had my family, and then I came to the VA, mm-hmm. and I guess even though I didn't want to acknowledge that I, you know, was a veteran, I was surrounded by veterans, mm-hmm. so I knew that that was there, and, you know, I found myself sometimes that there would be an angry male patient, you know, saying something about, well, I'm a veteran, you know, and I deserve this. And one time I found myself saying to them, I said, well, I'm a veteran too, and then they all just looked at me, and I said, well, you know, I was over there too, you know, so, and, mm-hmm. you know, it served me well, so, and I mean, it's, you know, my VA career has been mm-hmm. profitable, and I have no regrets.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So, good. And I'm probably different than a lot of the other nurses that you may interview, mm-hmm. because like I said, we're all at a different time. It depends yeah. upon the time that you were over there. Yeah. I wasn't there during the worst time, like the Tet Offensive mm-hmm. in the 60s and that. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, I did see the damages of war. I did, you know, live in an environment that was in a wartime. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I came back to a society that didn't acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. You know, we were still protesting it. And
mm-hmm. What did you think of the protest?
You know, it's like I didn't support the war even when I went over. I was not for the war. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the only reason I went over was to take care. And I remember people kept asking me, why are you going then? I said, I'm going over to take care of the ones, you know, that are over there, and that's what I just felt that I needed to do. Mm-hmm. But I never really stopped to think about the war, and I think that was because I was just so young and so impressionable, mm-hmm. and it was just, and sometimes, you know, when that's when we have, you know, the youngest ones are the ones that do go to war, because they don't, mm-hmm. you're at that age where you're not yet, things are not sinking in, and you're not really, it's just not real. You don't mm-hmm. even, yeah, and then it's so, excuse me, so to me it wasn't that real. It wasn't uh-huh. that it was so much of a danger, you know. Uh-huh. I didn't really stop to think about it. Uh-huh. You know, and I've talked to some of my colleagues when we've been at Dedicated, and we say the same thing. Well, that's just the way we felt, you know. We were young, you know, uh-huh. and we didn't stop to think about it.
Uh-huh. Do you read much about the war, or, you know, books, or do you watch a lot of movies, or do you avoid them altogether?
No, I read some, but I don't read a whole lot. Uh-huh. I don't know, it's just, avoidance is easier to, I think, is the best way. I mean, because I never understood.